Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16. As we continue in our series on Bible martyrs, we've been including the issue of persecution and oppression. And so while we won't in this text be reading about the martyrdom of Paul, we will be reading about an interesting situation with the Apostle Paul. Children, here are your questions for this evening. First, what is the name of the songbook that God gives us in the Bible? Two, what did Paul and Silas do that cheered them up when they were in jail? Three, do you have a favorite psalm? Do you know a tune you can sing it to? And four, what are some of your favorite Christian songs? Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16, this is the word of God. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that your word is truth and your word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and that you always touch our souls when your spirit is at work with your word. We also thank you for historic accounts like the account we've just read that remind us of your constant near presence to your people, and that we can trust you in the same way that the saints of old trusted in you. Lord, we thank you for things that you instruct us with in your word. And tonight, as you've given us the privilege of worship and praise and song, we ask that you would instruct us tonight on the great value of singing songs of Zion to our King. Lord, bless us as we come to your word. Send your Holy Spirit in a special way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we near the end of our series on the martyrs, I want to address something that was the source of comfort that has carried many, many saints throughout the ages, through persecution and even in the face of death, and that is Songs of Zion. Tonight I want us to tune our hearts to God's ministry of music to us. That is a blessing that God has given to us. The gift of music is something that's been commandeered by mankind for many purposes, but the highest use of music and song is that of praise to God. And the wonderful thing about praise to God for saints is that while it brings him glory, at the very same time, it ministers to our souls. And that's where many martyrs and many people who are persecuted have found great comfort in singing songs to the Lord. A singing song in church is a huge topic. As I was preparing for this, hundreds of songs filtered through my mind. Many thoughts of the blessings of Christian worship and song came into my mind. Sadly, the many controversies surrounding Christian worship and song came into my mind. Went down many, many rabbit trails. But tonight I want to keep it very simple and remind us that God has provided for us and for his suffering people and for martyrs in particular songs of comfort for their souls. We all have our songs. You probably have your song. I hope you have songs that minister to your souls. See, I'm not talking about just happy songs. You might have some of those. I'm not talking about simply songs that scratch the surface. Put on a happy face. Happy days are here again. I'm happy. They only scratch the surface, but it's the songs of Zion, especially those inspired by God himself, that truly minister to the depths of our souls. Because they speak to us of the things of God. Songs of Zion reflect God's presence and care with his people, his sovereignty, his intimacy with us. They bring comfort, bring solace, especially to oppressed people. Do you have songs? Do you have songs that minister to your soul? I encourage you that if you do, keep singing those songs over and over again to yourself. If you don't have those songs, I urge you to find good psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that will minister to your soul. I will guarantee this, that in your time of trouble, they will rise up from your inner being and minister to you. They will minister to you. Songs that foster a joyful soul, even in the midst of trials. Tonight, songs of Zion that are specifically songs, you might say, that are sung by the rivers of Babylon. Psalm 137 is actually one of those psalms in specific referring to the captivity in Babylon. And the irony of that psalm is that they're actually singing about not being able to sing. That's the nature of psalms. Psalms will always, always take you in your situation and turn your eyes upwards towards heaven. So even while the captives are mourning by the rivers of Babylon, they're nonetheless singing to the God of Zion. What an amazing thing. Simply use praise in Babylon to refer to all those kinds of psalms and songs that minister to us. If you flip through the psalms, I do that on occasion, just go through all 150 psalms and try to remember what each one is about. But so many of them, 3, 4, 5, on and on and on, will remind you of God's presence when you call out to him. Even in the most dire circumstances, think of Psalm 22, where we enter into not only David's experience, but Jesus' experience. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is an utterance from the depths of a broken, feeling abandoned soul, and nonetheless turning to God himself. Know the Psalms. They'll minister to you. You might say they're God's ordained hymns for your soul. They cover the whole range of human, very specifically Christian experience. Christian song in the time of trial It's a great biblical tradition. It's a tradition that Paul and Silas certainly picked up and practiced themselves. So we read the story from Acts chapter 16. Paul had seen a vision of a man from Macedonia, and so they went into the area to minister. It's the first time, by the way, that the gospel got into what we know as Europe. When they got there, they experienced success at first. But then they experienced harassment because, as we read, there was a young woman there who was possessed with a spirit, a demon, and was crying out that these men are servants of the Most High God. And at first you might think, what a great thing. It's free advertisement. When it says that Paul was annoyed, it doesn't mean that he was just annoyed and ornery. What she was doing was counterproductive. It was not for the gospel. And so Paul, by the power of God, cast this demon out of this poor girl. But then the trouble starts. Hit somebody in their pocketbook, hit somebody in their checkbook, and you will get a response, and probably not a good one. But the people there used even more than that. They used racial leverage against them. These are Jews. So they used economic leverage. They used racial leverage. These men are Jews. They used religious leverage. They practice false religion. They used political leverage to stir up sentiments. They're troubling Rome. And so the trouble starts, and they're beaten as criminals, scourged. Their skin is ripped. Their wounds are raw. They're thrown into prison, and yet they're not licking their wounds, are they? They're using their tongues to praise God. They're using their tongues to sing praise. That was certainly a comfort to them. But did you notice that Luke is careful to point out that the other prisoners were listening? And you can be sure that the guards were listening. And they're listening to these men who have just been beaten to a pulp and thrown into prison, and they're singing the songs of Zion. They're singing praise to God, ministering to their own souls, exalting God, but also being a witness to those around them. Sometimes we too quickly pass over that part of the story and get right to the wonderful story of the earthquake that leads to the conversion of the Philippian jailer. But song certainly had a significant place in this whole story. So songs under oppression are a serious, significant part of the Christian experience. It has been through the ages, it is down to today. I just offer you some examples, and there are many, many, many examples. One famous example is the forerunner of the Reformation, John Huss, or Jan Hus, a Bohemian reformer, preaching, teaching against the false doctrines of Rome, the corruption of the Roman Church, was excommunicated. Actually, the whole city along with him was excommunicated because he would not back down from the truth of Scripture. He left Prague because he didn't want to cause more trouble for the city, but then he was finally formally condemned by the authorities. He's given over to the secular authorities, and he's burned at the stake in 1415. But rewind just a little bit, because while he's on his way to execution, he's being pressed to retract his views. And he replies, "God is my witness that the evidence against me is false. I have never thought nor preached except with the one intention of winning men, if possible, from their sins. Today I gladly die." And the fire was lit and the flames engulfed him, and he began to sing a Latin Christian chant, "Christ, thou Son of the living God, have mercy upon me," singing in the flames. It's a tradition that was carried on down through the ages, another great example of how many saints found comfort in their oppression is in our own country during the terrible time of chattel slavery. And how many songs the slaves that were exposed to Christianity sang. They would sing different kinds of songs in the field. They would sing holler songs. Sometimes they were kind of used to get secret messages out. They would sing work songs, but most profoundly, they would sing and compose spirituals. One militant abolitionist named Thomas Higginson, he's a commander of the South Carolina Volunteers, the first Union regiment made up of freed slaves. And he's visiting these camps, they're his camps, and his soldiers would break out in song. These are freed slaves, and this is what he says. Listen to what he says about their singing. These quaint religious songs were to the men more than a source of relaxation. They were a stimulus to courage and a tie to heaven. By these, they could sing themselves, as had their fathers before them, out of the contemplation of their own low estate into the sublime scenery of the apocalypse. I remember that this minor key pathos used to seem to be almost too sad to dwell upon, while slavery seemed destined to last for generations. You know some of these songs. You know Go Down Moses, Song of Deliverance, I'll Fly Away. So many songs from oppressed souls waiting to be released. For them, it was so much more than being released from the chattels of slavery. These were free men. Closer to our own time, it's a painful and sometimes charming story of courage from the 50s and 60s of a young girl named Melba Patillo. After the ruling of Brown versus the Board of Education, she was one of the 9 African-American children sent to Little Rock Central High School, the first African-Americans in that school. And if you read her story, there's many trials, many that are race-related, other kinds of trials as well, but her theme throughout those days of trial, all the way up to her elderly age, her theme was Psalm 23. Again and again, she would turn to Psalm 23 and find comfort for her soul. Even today, saints, our brothers and sisters around the world in oppression, find great solace in song. I had many excerpts that I wanted to read from this book called Singing Through the Night. And it's a compilation of many different instances where the saints of God in great trial find comfort in singing to God. I'm just going to read some of 2 stories, and there's so much more. Stories from Ethiopia and Afghanistan and China and Cuba. This will finally be in the library when I'm finally done with it. Just listen to 2. This one's from Ethiopia. This individual's traveling in these areas. Several years ago, when I first visited Ethiopia, I noticed the important role worship and choirs play in some of the churches. After young people come to a personal belief in Christ, they are often excommunicated from the Orthodox Church. As a result, many of their parents throw their children, often still teenagers, out of their homes into the street with only the clothes on their back. Afterward, they treat them as if they were dead. These young people, who are severely persecuted by both family and society, continue to worship God, singing his praises with a volume and vigor that initially struck me, a stiff Northern European with a Calvinist background, as a bit over the top. But I soon came to see that worship is a lifeline for them. They need continually to remind their souls of the truth of God's love, a truth that is freely expressed in the words they sing. At the same time, their praise serves as a means of overcoming the powers of evil that surround them. Each choir composes its own songs, which are filled with biblical messages. These Christians understand the miracle that happened among the people of Israel. The passage I've quoted above, worship is stronger than weapons. In Afghanistan in the fall of 2001, a group of 8 international volunteer workers spent 3 months in dark, dirty prisons. Before they had been abducted, they were in the habit of beginning each day with a time of singing and praying. During their captivity, they continued this habit, worshiping God despite their inhumane and frightening circumstances. It helped them focus on the one they trusted for deliverance. Story after story of the gift of God's songs to his people that minister to them in their time of need. What a rich array we have of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm very careful when I say when God sings to us, because the only truly, truly inspired songs that God sings to us are the psalms and other songs that we find in the Bible. And so I encourage us especially to know and to sing the psalms as they minister to our souls. God ministering to us, our reading and singing about Christ empathizing with us, relating to what David or other psalmists our experiencing, we can enter into those. But there are also so many psalms and other hymns and songs composed in line with Scripture that minister to our souls as well. Have a repertoire for your soul. Some of them might be complex. I'll never forget hearing and trying to sing "It Is Well With My Soul" for the first time. It's a fairly complex tune and hymn. Having not been trained in hymns or psalms, it was somewhat of a foreign thing to me. But as you enter into it and as you get to know it, it's deeply, deeply profound. We all have our different tastes in music, but when a melody resonates and the words come together, it ministers to our soul when it speaks to us of things of Scripture. But then so many simple songs. One that I just love is simply "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your way straight." And it goes on in such a simple, beautiful fashion, singing a proverb. The important thing, I believe, is this, that what we sing, that is, the divine songs that we sing, the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we sing, reach our soul. And minister to us in times of struggle where they put our situation in perspective and takes us beyond ourselves, to the point where we hear the voice of God and hear the angels sing. And we sing along with them and the saints who have gone before us. That's where saints find solace in sorrow, in grief, even in dying, even in martyrdom. God has blessed us tremendously with the gift of song. I don't think I would be out of line if I was to say that we ought to take full advantage of such a wonderful gift that God has given to us. And may our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are struggling even now find songs of Zion comforting their souls. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for all the graces and all the mercies and all the love that you showed to us day after day. Tonight, we thank you for the ministry of song that you have provided right from your word and through other sources as well that reflect back to us the wonderful truths of your holy word, your promises, your nearness, your care, your love for us in sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You're touching our souls so deeply that even in our deepest sorrow and mourning, you have given us songs of joy to sing from the depths of our souls. We come to you in the name of Jesus, whose name we love to sing, with the help of your Holy Spirit. Amen.